That's some music by Luigi Boccherini. It's from his D major string quartet, Opus 6, number 1, first movement, in a performance by the Quartetto Italiano, which was quite a venerable ensemble. And playing some music of theirs because they're sort of the, until recently, the last Italian string quartet to have quite an international fame. There's a new one out, or relatively new. They are called the Quartetto di Cremona, and they have a new CD out on the Audite label. This is of music by Beethoven. It is the second volume in their complete traversal of the Beethoven string quartets. And I thought we would share some of that with you today. I have on the phone from Italy with me right now the violist of the Quartetto di Cremona. His name's Simone Gramaglia. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi to everybody, and thank you to you.
So I thought I would play some of the Quartetto Italiano because, you know, your publicity material certainly makes something of you're being kind of the new Italian quartet after a long time when there really wasn't one of any international renown. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that to you guys, to the four of you?
Yeah, I must say that it's true, because the Quartetto Italiano was a kind of miracle in Italy that is more known as the country of opera and conducting. And they really devoted themselves to chamber music, and we had the luck to meet and to study with the viola player Piero Farulli at the Scuola di Musica di Fiesole. It was 15 years ago, and I must say that of course for us the Quartetto Italiano has always been a great source of inspiration, because they really had this devotion to the music and this idea that the music has a great message to be communicated. And Piero Farulli really teached this to us. And it was a great, great experience. And it was very nice to study with him because of that. And I must say, we are happy to be able to live and to play around the world with the quartet. And it's something that is quite strange in Italy, because till now, there are not so many. I mean, there are many string quartets, but they don't play professionally, because they are very good. I mean, all the members are for sure very good players, but they don't do as their main job.
And have you made any attempts whatsoever to model yourselves on that quartet, or I'm assuming you've just worked to create your own voice?
I must say that the Quartetto Italiano has, when you listen to them, a great sound, a great voice, and they had this ability to find a wonderful balance between the instruments. And for us, this was something that helped a lot to find our own way of playing and our sound.
You also have studied, at least some of you have, with a well-known, now I'm forgetting, German or a Austrian player as well in your subsequent studies, well-known from
Absolutely.
Another quartet.
We studied with Hatto Bayerle. Yeah. And the Alban Berg Quartet, and we studied with him a lot. I must say that this was probably the experience that gave us all the knowledge about the German tradition of the music, because if for Piero Farulli what was very important was the message, was the musical message, and the humanity that you can find in the music, for Hatto Bayerle, for sure, emotions were very important, but also the knowledge of the tradition and the way of composing, particularly in the classics, Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, has always been important. And we worked with him for 6 years intensively, and then we never stopped to talk to him, to play for him, and I must say that it helped a lot to combine the Italian sound that can be explained like saying that we really feel the sound is to sing in a way with the great German and Austrian tradition of the string quartet.
Tell me about your name, Quartetto di Cremona. It has a lot to do with a pretty famous place for making stringed instruments.
When we choose the name of the quartet, it was just by case, because we studied in Cremona. We all four studied in Cremona, where there is the Stauffer Academy that is led by the famous violinist Salvatore Accardo. And it was during a tour with his orchestra in 2000 that Cristiano, the first violinist, decided to start a quartet, a string quartet. I remember that during the interval he came to me and asked, would you like to play quartet? I must say I had no idea about what to play in a quartet would mean, but I said yes, and then we started, and then we needed a name. And as we all were not from Cremona, because I must say that we are all from Genova, but we studied there, we decided to call to give to the quartet the name of Cremona, without thinking too much to the connection with the great instruments, string instruments. But then it was it became a big luck, because we noticed that Cremona is, of course, very well known for Stradivari and for the great violin making tradition. So, in a way, we were lucky without knowing this.
You, in your publicity material, you do each list the instruments that you play. And Cristiano Gualco, he's the first violinist, correct?
Sorry?
He's the first violinist in the quartet.
Yeah, Cristiano is the first violinist.
Yeah,
exactly.
And he plays the Guarneri from 1737. Paolo Andreoli, the other violinist, plays... I haven't heard of this fellow, Guadagnini.
Guadagnini, exactly.
Yeah.
He played a wonderful Guadagnini. Now he changed, and he plays Testore. And Cristiano now plays Nicola Amati.
Mm. And then you're playing a much newer instrument.
Yeah, I was playing in the last recordings two violas, one from a violin maker from Genova, and that is my, let's say, my former viola, and then another viola from a violin maker from Pistoia. But then now I changed again, and I have a viola from Ansaldo Poggi, who is one of the best violin makers and viola makers of the 20th century. It's from 1952. And I must say that it's a really, really great instrument. I'm going to finish all the recordings of Beethoven with this instrument. And the cellist plays Marino Capicchioni, who was also a very good violin maker of the last century.
Just one other question about the instruments. I'm kind of interested because... particularly when you say you've changed your own instrument a number of times, how much does the instrument, do the instruments have to do with the creation of the sound for the Quartetto di Cremona? And when you change an instrument, does that risk changing the sound of the quartet?
You're right, because when you change an instrument, the sound of the quartet can completely change. For example, Cristiano was used to play this Nicola Amati since many years, but then the instrument that is owned by a foundation in Japan had to come back to Japan for some little adjustments, and he had to change with the Guarneri. I mean, he was lucky anyway, but the sound of the Guarneri compared to the Amati one was completely different. And he had to work a lot to find the right way to use the sound and to fit into the quartet with our instruments. And the same was with Paolo, for example. The Guadagnini was wonderful. Then he had a short period with a very new instrument, because the Guadagnini was of a foundation too, and he had to give it back. And then he changed to this Testore, and this Testore is really wonderful, because the sound is a little bit darker compared to the Amati of Cristiano, and it fits very well with him and with the viola particularly. And it's very delicate to find new instruments. It's why when I stopped to play my former viola, I tried with viola of this violin maker from Pistoia that was very good, but it was too big. It was like a 44 centimeters violin. For me, it was a little bit too much, and the sound was great, but a little bit too dark. So we decided that I should have had to try other instruments, and it came this Ansaldo Poggi, and I must say that probably it has the best sound for our quartet at the moment, because it fits very well with the cello, but also the quality of the sound is very good for the Testore and for the Amati. So I must say that we would be also ready to change one of our instruments if we see that the sound of the quartet is not as we look for. And the first thing that we would like to have is a very good balance between instruments. For example, once I tried the viola Amati Brothers, and it, of course the quality of the sound was great, but the instrument was very little, and the power of the sound was not very, very big. And the final result was that during the concerts, the viola was very difficult to be heard in the hall. And it was not good, because it means that the structure of the quartet, of the music, is not clear in this case, because you listen more other voices than what is necessary, and it's why I didn't accept, even if, of course, it wasn't easy, because an Amati is always an Amati, to play this viola, and I came back to modern instruments.
Well, we've talked a lot about the sound of your quartet without yet hearing your quartet, so let's do that right now. This is I'm talking with Simone Gramaglia, who is the violist of the Quartetto di Cremona, and they have a new CD out, the second in a series of what is projected to be the complete Beethoven string quartets. And there are two quartets on this new recording. There is one of the later ones, his Opus 127, and then there is one was from what's known as his commonly as his middle period. It's one of the ones written for Count Razumovsky, Opus 59, number 2, in E minor. And here is some of the first movement of this quartet by Beethoven, the Quartetto di Cremona, here on Live and Local. Thank you. That's some of the first movement of the E minor quartet of Beethoven, his Opus 59, number 2, a new recording by the Quartetto di Cremona. My guest is violist Simone Gramaglia of the quartet. This is from this new recording, as I say, here on Live and Local. And we were talking about the sound of the quartet and the importance of balance, of matching your instruments and so on. And also earlier about the sound of the Quartetto Italiano, which I think you described as a very rich sound. I would say, at least based on this recording, that your quartet has perhaps a more streamlined sound, a little leaner sound, at least for this music. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes, absolutely. I must say that it's true. And I think this is the result of our research of this kind of very deep and inner sound for Beethoven, that because the expression that usually Italians are used to have is a very let's say very very bright and very very sunny. Let's say sunny. And but this kind of music, particularly the German music, Beethoven music, needs really to, for us, in our opinion, really needs to be, to have a great thought on the sound and on the atmosphere, and it's very intimate, and so it's very important to find the right sound. And I must say that we worked a lot on that, and of course our experience with German violinist Arthur Bayerle helped us a lot to find the right way.
Do you would you say that you have been influenced at all by some of the ensembles of different types who consider what has been known as authentic performance practice? And the reason I ask is that it sounds like you use perhaps a bit less vibrato than some quartets use, again, at least in this music. And I found it quite arresting immediately. I mean, it caught my attention, the way you begin this quartet, as if to say, to make me wonder, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I must say that, for example, the vibrato is a very important aspect of the a performance, because it's one of the things, you know, the things that we can use to make a performance and the movement and the music richer, but not always. Is necessary. Of course, it's a matter of taste of the performer, but also for the structure, we think that and the tonality is very important to not just to play and to use vibrato, but to think that not all the time the vibrato can be useful. For example, in the Opus 59, number 2, there are many sections in the E minor tonality that it's a very dark, but it's not so dark as, for example, other minor tonalities could be, like C minor, for example. And as we have many open strings of the violins, to give this brightness in the darkness, it's very important. And sometimes not using the vibrato can help this kind of idea, and also it helps to focus on the lines that we think are very important. And to play espressivo, in our opinion, not always means that you have to use vibrato. There are many kind of expressivity, like we believe that our bow and our vibrato and the point of the contact point of the bow on the strings are some of the things that we can use to make a performance very unique.
I want to quote from, again, your publicity material, because there's a very interesting statement here about Beethoven's musical language in this quartet in particular, I think, the Opus 59, number 2. And here's what it says. Beethoven's musical language is no longer balanced and well-seasoned as that of his contemporaries, but is extreme in every respect, ruthless and with feeling, dramatically operatic, and full of contrapuntal finesse. I'm particularly interested in the terms extreme and ruthless and dramatic. Can you talk about how that applies to this quartet and maybe especially the second movement, which we're going to sample in a moment?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The second movement is really wonderful. And it's also an example of how Beethoven started to think in a different way of composing compared to the Opus 18, because he started to have very, very, very long adagios and a structure that is completely different compared to the classics one, to the classics structure of the pieces. And it's you're right, because for example in the second movement you can have an operatic movement, I think, for example, when the second violin starts with the theme, and this is really, really cantabile and espressivo. But then, after the viola and the first violin and the cello, suddenly it changes in a very dramatic and static moment. And there, for example, it's very important to consider how to be able to give the best character to this kind of music. And what is very difficult in Beethoven is that very often it happens that he changes immediately, suddenly, from a musical character to another musical character. And it's why it's very difficult and it's very important to try to connect this point in the best way. And it's not easy. And it's something also that shows how much Beethoven was starting to complete not think too much to the tradition, to the old tradition of composing, but he was going into the future, thinking to very new solutions.
Let's give a listen. This is the second movement, the slow movement of Beethoven's E minor quartet, Opus 59, number 2, played by Quartetto di Cremona from a brand new CD here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
That's from the second movement of Beethoven's Opus 59, number 2 quartet, the second of what are known as the Razumovsky quartets, for the name of the count by whom they were commissioned, played here by the Quartetto di Cremona. My guest on Live and Local today is Simone Gramaglia, who is the violist of the quartet. This is a new recording, and it is part of their projected complete traversal of all the Beethoven string quartets. I'm Kevin Kelly, here for Live and Local. Why is it important for the quartet to record all the Beethoven string quartets? It's been done so many times, and you have such a wide repertoire, from Haydn to much, much newer and contemporary quartets. Why Beethoven again?
Yeah, you're right. We consider that in Italy, just the Quartet Italiano recorded the old Beethoven string quartets, and then no more. It's why when we started to think to record them, we thought that it could have been a good idea to have at least another string quartet after 30 years, an Italian string quartet, to record the Beethoven cycle and to show in a way maybe the changes of the in the interpretation that all these years produced and in the way of thinking the music and in the way of the approach to the music of a new Italian quartet. The project started when the Società del Quartetto in Milano asked us to perform the old Beethoven cycle there, and we did it in 2 years. We just finished a few days ago. And it was also another reason why we thought, as we had to play the old quartet, why not to record them? And you are right when you say that, we are in a very good company and there are wonderful recordings of the string quartets, thinking to the past and not so far, thinking to the Alban Berg string quartet and to the Emerson string quartet or the Quartet Italiano and many others. And probably, if we would have been a German or a French or an English string quartet, maybe I don't know if we would have liked to record the Beethoven, the old Beethoven cycle. But for the reason that I just told you, we thought that it was important. And it was also the result of our experience of playing for many, 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 many years classics, and a lot of Haydn, a lot of Mozart, and quite a lot of Beethoven, and in our way finding a very personal way to think to this music. So it's why we thought that now that we are around 40, maybe we could start to do it and to record.
Being around 40, is that the minimum age of achieving maturity in Beethoven's music?
Yeah, it's true, because, if you are too young, I don't think that you really, it's not possible to understand this music, and I don't think that even when you are 60, you can say, okay, I understood the Beethoven way of thinking and everything, but it's right, you need time to play this music and to play it again and to think on the musical message and to the character of the music, and then wait maybe a little bit to play other things and to come back to this music. And we did a lot. In almost 15 years, we did a lot of this process, and now we think we are ready to give our interpretation, of course, in this moment. I'm quite sure that in five or six years, maybe we will listen again to our recordings, and we will think that many things we could be played differently.
You made reference. You said it's perhaps impossible to ultimately comprehend all of the Beethoven quartets, and the other quartet that is on this recording, his Opus 127, comes from his very latest quartets, which his contemporaries found kind of shocking, and they obviously didn't comprehend them at all. In fact, I've heard some of these in live performance, and I sort of wondered if Beethoven had perhaps gone off his rocker a bit, because they're so different and sometimes really very strange. Can you talk about, in that context, this Opus 27 quartet, the E-flat major?
You are completely right, and I think that Beethoven suffered a lot of this condition, because, I mean, for a composer to write music and to have this music performed and to see that people maybe laugh or think it's a joke or totally don't understand the meaning of this music, it must be very, very, very frustrating. Anyway, I think that particularly with the late quartets, he completely started to think not to a special structure, but just to musical moments, and he probably, because of his sickness, of his illness, he started the fact that he started to hear just inside himself, probably gave changed the length of his way of thinking to the music. And it's why, for example, in Opus 127, we have a slow movement that is extremely long, even longer than the ones of the middle period. And it's incredible, because I can understand that people at the time didn't know what to say about this music, because if we think to Haydn, if we think to Mozart, if we think to the taste of the time, to have these kind of quartets was really shocking. And Beethoven himself was writing in some letters that he didn't think to his contemporaries when he composed this music. He just thought to the people of the future. And I can understand that. And even now, there are pieces like the Great Fugue, for example, that are really very difficultly understandable.
Let's give a listen to a first movement of the E-flat major quartet, Opus 127 by Beethoven, the Quartetto di Cremona, from their new recording here on Live and Local. That is from the first movement of Beethoven's Opus 127 string quartet, the Quartetto di Cremona, their new recording on the Audite label. And my guest here on Live and Local today, the violist of the quartet, Simone Gramaglia. And you said your quartet has been around now about 15 years, but a little bit of change in the personnel, right? In that time.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, the next year it will be 15 years that we are around. And the original formation was with another second violin and another cellist. And at the end of 2002, we changed them both. And we were lucky to find the actual members that are Paolo, second violin, and Giovanni at the cello. And I must say that in these 15 years, we changed a lot our way to be and our way to be able to stay with other people in a more positive way. And I think that string quartet was a good lesson for that.
How many of the Beethoven quartets have you recorded now so far? I know this one is just out. It's volume 2.
We recorded 10 string quartets, and volume 3 will come out very soon, and volume 4 is already done. And the next we will have another recording session in next November. And I must say I'm very proud because we decided to put in the recording also the Beethoven Quintet and the Opus 29 with two violas, and Larry Dato from the Emerson String Quartet will join us for this. And I must say that we all are very proud for, because, you know, we really love this player.
And remind me, how many quartets are there total of Beethoven?
17 string quartets.
17, so 7 more to go. And then you'll have the complete project. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you, and it's been wonderful to hear this recording and your approach to it. And I wish you luck with the rest of the cycle, and with your current, assuming you have a current tour going on or very shortly.
Yeah, we will come to the United States next November. And we will play in Texas, I think, and other places, but our agent is still working on that. And they're very happy because we are always happy to come to the United States. And it's very nice, particularly to me. I mean, forgive me for all my English mistakes, but I must say that I really love to talk English, and I love American accent, so it's why I'm very happy to come to the United States, particularly. And I will try to improve my English even more, particularly to be able to talk about music. It's not easy, and I hope to have been able to give at least an idea of what our ideas are about the music.
Well, I think so, and I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate your tolerance of my pronunciation of everyone's names, which is about as much as I can do in Italian. So you're far ahead of me. And when you go to Texas, of course, the English accent will be quite different indeed from what you're hearing from me.
Yeah, you're right. I just had, watched a movie probably 1 or 2 years ago, that was No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I watched it in the original language. I think that most of the scenes were in Texas. And I must say that it's a very difficult accent for me, of course, and very different, for example, from the accent of New Jersey. But it's lovely. You know, I love it. So it's for me, it's very nice to hear all these differences.
Very different indeed. Simone Gramaglia, the violist of the Quartetto di Cremona. Check out their new recording of the second volume of their Beethoven String Quartets. Opus 59, number 2, is on there. Opus 127, and also the first volume has been out for a while. Look for the other ones to come. Thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local today.
Thank you very much to you and to all the listeners.